Welcome, everyone, to episode 5 of the Fifth Trooper Podcast. I'm Owen.
And I'm Isaac.
And we're talking to you today about tournaments. But yes. Before we get into that, quick shout out to our Patreon. Thanks. You love us. You really love us. Swing over there to Patreon at patreon.com/thefifthtrooper. Consider subscribing. We got some fun things inside of the Patreon. You get to be part of the cool Fifth Trooper Discord, so you can chat with us there. It's really nice. I love it because you help make this show happen, and we really, really couldn't do this without you. So thank you. Also, if you're on the tubes of you, think about subscribing, liking, commenting, you know, hit that bell, do all of the things. Hit all of the buttons. Hopefully you're still here after you do that. That helps us out a lot right now. So we do really appreciate that. Then you can get more of us every 2 weeks and our tips and our conversations. Without further ado, here's our beginner's guide to tournaments. So we're going to dive into how you find tournaments, what you can expect while you're at a tournament, some tips and tricks on how to make that the easiest process and the best process for you while you're there, and how to win. I can't help you with that one.
The meta.
Yeah, you're going to have to go elsewhere. Notorious Scoundrels, you'll have to go listen to them for that one.
You can join the Fifth Trooper Discord and post your list there, where you'll get very good feedback on your list.
Yeah, you'll get straight feedback from the best players of this game, and also me. So, you know, take that as you will. That might be a threat to some people. But at least you can listen to that and put your list in there and get some decent feedback. I do that when I do tournaments, so that way I can see where my holes are in my army, what I might need to watch out for, what I can possibly do to kind of be a little bit more competitive. Again, we're not going to go into the competitive nature of the tournaments here. We're going to just kind of, like I said, give you a general idea of how to do it as a new player, because we're sitting here expecting that you've bought your starter, you have, you know, upgraded yourself from our last video, you've gone from 600 to 1,000, you got a couple wins under your belt, you're feeling pretty good about it, and you've been hearing things about tournaments, and you go, well, yeah, I like playing this game, how do I play more of this game? Isaac, if I wanted to play more of this game, if I wanted to participate in these tournaments, why would I want to do that? A and B, where do I find him?
Well, Owen, I'm so glad that you have asked. No, this really is something that I'm fairly passionate about, because my dream is to eliminate the riff between like casual playing and tournament playing across all the various games I play. I know that there is often sort of like a stigma, or like people can be scared, like, oh, I play the game, but I'm just casual, I can never go to a tournament. And like, Legion is not that way. Like, just like, bring whatever list you want. It is a super friendly environment, and it's where you meet people. It's where the heartbeat of the community really is kind of centered around the tournament scene. So like, you don't have to go to tournaments, but that's really where like the fun is, I feel like, for me. Like, not even from a competitive side. If you want to go and stomp everybody, cool. That tournament scene. If you want to go and just meet people and like play games, also cool. Like, it's a very good, healthy environment. Even like at the peak of like convention play and stuff, it's just, that's where the fun of the game is to be had. And
My first experiences with Star Wars Legion, and what made me fall in love with the community of people, was exactly that. You know, I only played a game or two, and then I immediately was inside of a tournament, because that just happened to be happening as I was learning. And so I was playing some of my first games in a tournament setting with people, and having them literally tell me the rules of the game while I was at the tournament. And so, like, it was just such a fun time. It was such a fun place to be and to meet these people and be able to experience that. And everybody was so kind. And so, again, this isn't just for the sweaty hardcores that are trying to, you know, climb the ladder of points or whatever and make it into worlds and stuff. This could be simply, you know, just your local store getting together on a Saturday once a year for, you know, however long that is to make three games, like 9 hours or whatever, and you're just you're just having a good time hanging out with those people. And so just don't think of it in just like a competitive nature. Think of this as just like a gathering of people that are loving the same hobby and game that you are playing and want to play that game. It always feels bad, I feel like, when you get into a game and then like none of your friends are playing it. And so you just kind of sit there and just like, okay, well, I guess I don't get to play this game that much. Whereas like you can, you know. And you get to play it in probably some of the best settings you can play it in, because most tournaments will have some sort of terrain, or, you know, like people will bring out their good tables and stuff like that. And so, like, you're not just putting a shoebox and whatever your store has on the table and playing. You know, you're getting full-on tables that are themed exactly like various planets of Star Wars, and you're like, okay, this is cool. Like, it feels good when you put your Andor figure on the Scarif map and you're like,
yes.
Oh yeah, I'm home. This is nice.
Yeah, the hobby inside. Yeah, even that, tournaments are a great opportunity for the hobbyists to come out and play. Like, that, there's usually like a best table award, best painted. Like, you can showcase hobbies. Like, there's some people that just do tournaments specifically for that. They're like, I'm going to finish last and showcase my really awesome board or my awesome painted army. Like, there's a place for everyone at the tournament scene, and you should totally get on out and play some games. It's just it's instead of tournament, think more like Legion play day almost. Like, I want to play games. Like, that's, I want to play three games in one day.
You know, you're not necessarily going to be the one that's always going to be trying to like bring back a bunch of prizes and such like that. Like, this isn't about how many, you know, like free packs of cards you can get by winning kind of thing. Like, this is definitely much more of just like, I want to play this game with people all day. Yes. And I get a chance to do that, and so let me get a chance to do that. And so that's what it is, you know. Definitely keep that in mind,
and you get, because, stuff for doing it. You get, like, they'll give you promo dice and like promo cards.
I love the promo dice.
Cool math rocks. That's what we're here for.
and yeah, you get promo dice. Maybe you'll get some foil cards that you're using. And so you're like, hey, I got an up-to-date card of a unit that I have, and it's foil or a different art, so it's super cool. Like, that's neat. I think that's a super cool thing, and I really appreciate that happening. And I wish that there was more of that stuff there, because I think that's a cool aspect of the hobby. But, you know, as AMG has stated, this isn't a card game. They're not in it for the cards. They're not trying to sell foil packs of whatever. They're here to have people play with plastic models on a table. So there's a lot of that, and I think that's very cool, and I think that it's just a fun time. And definitely don't forget about the cool dice and things like that, because it always feels good when you get to then go back to your home store, and then you're rolling the red dice that have the little gray specks in it and stuff, and marble. People are like, ooh, these are a little fancy, and you're like, yeah, they're official.
Yeah,
you know,
they used to be kind of like held behind, like you had to place very high to get them, but anymore they're just like, you get them for playing. Like, it's just a way to keep people playing the game. And, like, AMG is, I'm really excited for the new tournament kits and elite kits that are coming out, because there's going to be lots of foil cards in there. Like, you just get one each round, and you get, usually you get dice each round. And there is prize support for winning. Like, if you do well, you get more stuff. But, like, you get quite a bit just for showing up and playing. And, yeah, you like to play the game anyways. Might as well get some cool stuff and play more of the game and play other people. And you learn about the game. Like, it's always funny. You have, like, you'll have, like, your local meta or, like, your local play group, and then when you put a tournament on, you sometimes pull in other people, or you go to another tournament, you get to play other people, and, oh, I didn't know you could do that combination, or I didn't know this rule was played that way. Sometimes communities, like, if you're playing in your little pool, you might be interpreting something entirely wrong and not be aware. And so it's a good way to, you know, check yourself, learn about the community, learn about the game, and win some cool stuff along the way.
You definitely hit on a very important part of that, is that it gives you variety, right? Is that there are people that come to these that are playing lists of things either differently than what you see in your store, or just different things than you normally see in your store. I know very personally from playing at my store, we have a lot of great people there. but everyone's playing Republic for the most part, and so it's really nice when I go to tournaments and then I'm playing against somebody who's CIS, and I'm just like, I've never played a CIS list against a CIS list. I don't know what this is like. Yeah, and so this is like something new. This is something fun. You know, the last tournament I was at, someone was playing Shadow Collective. I haven't seen a Shadow Collective list in a while,
so
it was very refreshing to see that on the table and just being like, huh, if I play against this person, how am I going to play against it? Because like, this is all stuff that I don't deal with. Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay, new puzzles to try to figure out, and not just the same thoughts of just like, okay, everyone at my store is playing X, and so now I know all of those weaknesses or strengths of that list because I play against it a lot. And you know, I think that's a lot of my Republic list against people's my Rebel list against people's Republic list. There we go. Yeah, it was like, okay, I know where to put my Luke and where to put my Sabine because I understand, like, where the melee is good against lists like that or bad against lists like that, where it's a lot more surprising when I'm like, oh, you have a lot of B1s and there's a Count Dooku? Oh, I don't know what to do here. This is this is exciting.
A new strategy that's being played. Yeah, like the GT that we just threw at Millennium with the Geonosian list that won, like, we had never seen Geonosians in our local scene, not in that capacity, like maybe one squad here like sprinkled in, but like a full Geo list, we're like, oh, what is this? And so it was a cool thing to see just on the table, and and not to mention all the boards and stuff too. It's really cool. It like my inner child is just happy to see all the Star Wars boards. It's sweet.
Yeah, I would very much think that this is, this is a thing for people to do, to play the game, be around people that like the game, so you're hanging out with the community. That's always a huge point. This isn't, I want to do this so I get, you know, the top prizes and get free lists, you know, I got to do this so that way I get, you know, the Bad Batch for free or whatever. It's like, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
You're not doing that. Please don't try to do that. Don't go in thinking that you're going to be able to get, you know, free Legion stuff. Like, that's not why a lot of people play it. That's also not really going to happen, but maybe you get some fun little trinkets for going, and that's kind of the thing that I would expect is like, hey, go in and expecting some dice, some cards, maybe somebody printed a 3D thing that they're handing out, and so that's cool. So that's like a fun aspect of it, and then if you happen to get a model or two at the end of it, great. If you don't, who cares? You had a good day, and that's all it's really play there for games. So how would we find a game if we wanted to play a game or find a tournament? You know, how do we find a tournament?
Yes, your original question that I derailed.
No, we answered part of the original question. We're good.
Yeah, I mean, the friendly local gaming stores, the Discord groups, Facebook groups, everything that we mentioned, like how you find your community, that video, like all of this applies here. So hopefully, if you've like found a community and you found groups for your region, you found whatever it is, you know, the Facebook group, the Discord group, you've gotten in touch with store owners that are in your area. Hopefully from that there's going to be tournaments and events coming from that just by existing in that, you know, atmosphere. So definitely looking in the groups, ask your store owners. Store owners love to put events on. If they have the capacity to have to have the tournament, to have the space to, you know, put 8 tables out or 4 tables, whatever it might be, you can have an 8-man tournament. You can have a 30-person tournament. You know, read the room, literally what you can do, and go from there. But asking for store owners, it helps build the community, because like nothing will help build your community than having 8 tables set up and everyone playing it, and then people just coming in the shop and going, wow, this is awesome. Look at all of these games going on. Look at all these armies. Look at all these boards, these maps. And then it makes the game seem like it's thriving and alive, and it is thriving and alive. So it'll help bring more people into your community. It's one of the biggest ways to build your community in the first place. But yes, so all the community groups, Discords, Facebooks, all that stuff is great. If you want some more of the like GT scene, the official events, AMG's website has a entire, like, it's a page. You can just type in Star Wars Legion Grand Tournaments AMG, and then you can go to their website and it has a list of by like region, basically region and date. I forget like how it's exactly sorted, but it'll tell you, you know, where are all the grand tournaments at. And so that's a great resource. You can kind of plan around that if you want to do a bigger event beyond like just the local scene. And you have like, you know, the big conventions. So this is something that like took me a while to wrap my head around because I was kind of in a vacuum. Like I didn't understand like, oh, convention play. So like just to name a few that are big stateside, at least, you have like Adepticon, you got Gen Con, Nova, Lone Star, PAX, LVO, Rocky Top. And there's like there's a ton more. And those are also great places to go and play a game. Cause usually with a convention, you have like 2 or 3 day events and you get to play a ton of games. And there's usually a bunch of side events and stuff. You could play different formats of the game. Like there'll be the main event that like people are trying to win, but there's also a bunch of side events you can play for like narrative play, or if you want to play like recon games or smaller versions of the game, or doubles events. There's always usually a good double event tied in there at the end. Those are always fun. So even if you like losing, you want to switch from like the main tournament to like a doubles event, that's always a fun time as well. But those are some of the big ones that I've off the top of my head. Yeah.
There was I recently have done Nova the last month, and I was looking over and there was a game of Age of Sigmar that was going on that there were teams of people on a table that was spanned the entire hall. And so all of these people were all on, like, they had them all sitting in a specific way that, you know, you weren't next to your teammates, but they all had little birthday party hats. And so once you were like winning your like region of the game or whatever, you would then like scoot farther in one direction or the other to like help out on the other battlefields that were happening, because it was all just one large board. Amazing. So you just kind of did your thing and then started like migrating into the next battle and then the next battle. And I was like, I'm very confused on the rules of that, but I want to see a Star Wars version of this. So cool. Like, I want to see a Battle of Hoth with like 10 Rebel players versus 10 Empire players. Like, let's just go crazy with it. This would be so much fun.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I know that at Nova, I saw in a video, there was a like, scale Helm's Deep for Middle Earth strategy battle game. It's another love of mine, but
again, going back to the beautiful tables, the Nova Lord of the Rings people just had like the most beautiful, like detailed to the movie, like exact
they're committed
play areas. And I was like, I mean, the Star Wars ones are good. We're not that good. it is very nice to see that, and it's very cool because then like you do feel a bit of that too when I'm playing on like the Scarif board or the Hoth board or whatever. I'm just like, oh yeah, no, I'm starting to feel it. Like someone really took their time to craft these boards, and so it is an experience of something that you don't get in your normal game store. And so it's worth it just playing on these like very epic and very cool boards.
Yeah, it's for the best of the best.
Yeah. As far as finding other tournaments, I tend to find a lot of mine through Longshanks, because Longshanks for those that don't know, Longshanks is the software that is used to kind of like track everyone's points and lists and tournament entries and all of that for actual Star Wars Legion tournaments. At least it's the only one that I know. I've been told there are others.
It's where the community is grounded at this point.
Yeah. So. But it's the only one that I know, and they have a little section where it just lists all of the tournaments that are actively going on or going to be coming up. And so you can just search through that list and just go, hey, I'm in, you know, Poland, and I want to find any game that's coming in the next 3 months. And so then you can just search Poland in the next 3 months for games that are happening, for tournaments that are happening there. And then you can find, you know, whatever tournament is happening there and just go, cool, sign up. Yeah. And there's always a link there that'll tell you what store is happening at or whatever convention or whatever. And so that way you can sign up, get all the information that you need, get your list sent in, get yourself all squared away, and so I use that to find mine, which I know isn't like the best thing in the world, but it works. I always find good tournaments.
Yeah, like, it's super, like, if you have a family vacation, or if you're just traveling for work, whatever it is, like, that is a super useful tool to just pop in there and be like, hey, I'm going to be in Florida at the end of September. I wonder if there's any events. Oh, look, Crucible. Like, you know, you can just, like, it's a super helpful tool. Or you can just pop into, like, a local store tourney, and that's awesome. It helps them out. You get to see something new. Yeah, it makes, like, the, I know, like, traveling, a lot of people that have work that makes them travel a lot, it sometimes can seem like, oh, well, I can't play like in events and things because I don't really have a home base, and that's truly it's not the case. Like, you can being able to filter and do a little bit of planning, you can find events that while you're on the road, and that's
I'm constantly amazed when I go to a tournament or I go to my local store and I find someone who is there. Mm-hmm. Because of work, like, yeah. They're like, yeah, I just happened to be traveling through and I saw this Facebook group or I saw this Discord, so I looked for a game, and so here I am. And I'm just sitting there thinking about how much of their luggage is their army. I always think that. I was like, how are you traveling with all of this stuff and not worried about it constantly? Like, I worry about my stuff just driving, yes, you know, the 15 minutes down the road to my local store, let alone flying or driving hours or whatever. Right. Like, I'm just like,
traveling with armies is a challenge in itself, but there's lots of ways to get from point A to point B with all the miniatures and all the little spindly bits not getting snapped off. There's tons of ways to do that, but yeah, that is true. Flying does make it a little bit difficult if you're flying around, but that, I mean, there's tons of luggage even that like there's tournament cases and bags, mm-hmm, that you can get that are specifically built for your armies. Please don't check your army ever. Like, don't put it in the check bag, but you can get some like overhead bin bags, things that'll fit in an overhead bin, yeah, or under your seat really nicely, as long as you're not running like, I don't know, Fluttercrafts or something. Fluttercrafts are difficult, but your 25 mil base guys are pretty safe, and your tanks,
yeah,
and your
they'd be all right. Yeah, so that's how you'd find these tournaments, and then you'd sign up for the tournaments. And congrats, you've signed up, you're, mm-hmm, in, now you're looking forward to it. Things to expect for that tournament: there will always be a tournament packet, mm-hmm, that will have all of the information for the tournament, other things that are happening with the tournament. If there happens to be as Isaac mentioned previously, if there's like a painting competition as part of the tournament, it'll be somewhere in that packet. It will tell you all of the rules that you need to know that are kind of extraneous. It's, you know, anything that's different that they're doing or anything like that. What time it starts at, how many days it's going to be, if it's going to end up cutting to a Swiss or whatever, like, That is all explained inside of that tournament packet. So 10 out of 10, you should always find your tournament packet, read your tournament packet. And also, if you ever have any questions of the tournament packet, there's always the TO, who's the tournament organizer, and they are normally somewhere listed that you can email them or be able to Discord them, message them in some sort of way. Mm-hmm. So that way you can get any of that packet clarified and set up. So that's always good. I tend to talk to TOs a bunch just because I have a lot of third-party printed things that I'm just like, hi, I don't own any of these because they're just not available to me, and I'm not spending an unheard of amount of money on a like $4 piece of plastic. Do you care if I use this instead? And 99.99% of the time they'll be like, yeah, sure, go for it, that's fine, and great, it's approved by the TO, you can bring it now. So that way, if anybody gives you any grief when you're actually at the table, which again, I've never even seen it happen, but
it's good
just in case
to ask, just in case,
yeah. It's always nice to have that read receipt kind of there just in case if you need it. Very, you know, my personal case of this is I do not own a Luke Skywalker because the starters. Well,
right, yeah.
Now that you're watching this, congrats, I now own a Luke Skywalker because the starter sets have finally come out. But when I did Nova last month, I didn't. So I was like, I want to run Luke, but I don't own one, and I'm not spending $50 on the like limited edition version of him that was given out as tournament prizing.
Yeah. That's
like,
crazy.
I wasn't doing that, and so I was just like, hey, I've got Cal Kestis. He's not in the game, so Cal Kestis is now Luke Skywalker. And every single person that I did that with at Nova looked at it and went, that's a really cool model. And I was like, thank you, it is a really cool model. And I was just like, and that's Commander Luke, and everyone... nodded their head and said, "That's Commander Luke," and we all agreed and went on with the game. It all worked out fine. Everyone was okay with this.
Yeah.
So just, you know, if you ever are ever worried about something like that, you can always just talk to the TOs and just be like, "Hey, I don't have that." It works a lot better when you have things that are very obvious, not things. It's definitely a different thing of just being like, "Hey, I don't have," again, what part of my thing was like, I didn't have any Rebel Troopers because I didn't know any of those, and so I had to borrow some because I felt very weird being like, yes, all of these vets, troopers, definitely troopers.
That's where it gets
like
a little bit difficult.
That gets very weird, and so that's where I would be like, when you have something that's very obviously not that unit, it's a lot easier to be like, I am proxying that is this unit, and mm-hmm. I have it cleared from the TO, and people go, okay, cool. Like,
yeah.
People are cool with that, and also the official AMG ruling of that is, as long as this TO is good, it's good. Otherwise, 50% of the model. So as long as 50% of the model is of AMG stuff, you're good.
Right.
You can use that and continue onward, and you don't have to worry about it. And it'll let you kit bash and make cool stuff, which I really love. I appreciate when I'm playing against people and it's not just like, oh, I see that you also have a bunch of sleeper cells that look exactly like my sleeper cells. How interesting. It's a lot better when people do fun paints or fun bases and things like that. So this is where the hobbying part comes in, where it's just like, yeah, like, I wanted to paint my stuff like this, and that's different than everyone else. So your army looks very distinct when it's on the field, and you're like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Printing stuff's always great. Like, having themed differently, like, out there themes. Like, we had one guy do a Old Republic-themed army for all their clones. And, like, that was awesome. And and they did it in a way that was very tasteful. Like, it wasn't confusing to the players that are playing against. At the end of the day, like, if it is easy to identify on the table as, like, as the unit that it is, there shouldn't really be an issue for the most part. The only reason that you'd really get any grief for, like, bringing proxies is if it was, like, I'm using my vets as troopers, and you have vets and troopers in your list. That gets confusing all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So, like, just as long as it's playable and it makes the game, like, for ease of play, it's doable, then you shouldn't really get any grief about it. Even official models and things, like, really, it's like if you're at like an official AMG event and you end up on like a stream table, that's really the only reason it's there. You know, you want the official things on screen. You know, that's really why the rule is there in the first place.
I love having official stuff, but just sometimes it's harder to do.
Yeah.
I know that this is again a thing from before my time, but I am aware that not everybody has like all of the heavy options for their trooper units, so that way when they have their cores down and they're just like, these are all DTLs, and I go, great, sounds good. They're not actually the DTLs. Like, I can tell that model of the thing there isn't the model of the DTL that I'm aware of from various other Star Wars pieces of media. So, like, I can tell that, but I don't care, because it's very obvious that that person has a modeled weapon that is very obviously not the same as the rest of the crew.
Right.
So I know that's the heavy. And as long as I can tell that from across the table, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, you use the E11 web blaster rather than the E10 grr on you.
It's like,
no
one, the mag is in the wrong place on that miniatures rifle. That's really messing with me. Which I don't
no
think magazines even matter in Star Wars. Let's get into
no one's gonna stop you on that. It's fine.
You
know, especially when it's like the actual AMG stuff, and it's just like, it's just, that's the heavy, and you go, okay, cool.
Yeah.
As
long as you can read it on the table, it should be fine.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to give you any grief.
It should be fine. The key, the other keys of getting ready for tournaments, other than having your list of, you know, hey, this is what I'm going to bring, here's all my minis. Officially, they have to be painted at least three different colors. I have three different colors on them, so you can't just bring a bunch of grays. So you do have to do
grays.
A little something, but it's not that hard to paint the base a color or paint the base two colors and, you know, a shoulder pauldron. So if you haven't painted your entire army yet, you could still just throw a little bit of color on them and be able to tell them apart and throw them in there. But it also, it gives you a great excuse to just be like, oh, I have a tournament next month. I gotta paint the rest of this unit real quick.
Also, it is proven it improves your saves when your miniatures are painted. Scientific fact right there. The paint save is so real. Gray minis do not real good saves. You heard it here.
Yeah, my Sabine is it's very hard to kill, and it's because I did such a good job painting that Sabine it's 100%
nothing
a real
to do with this equation. It's shield tokens don't matter. It's all the paint job.
It's all that paint job. The paint job is just so good that I just happen to roll red saves so well. That's exactly it. So yes, you do have to make sure that you have some things at least a little bit painted. You do have to have your models with you and dice. It helps a lot if you have enough dice, which, as we've pointed out, you get dice by playing.
Yep. You might have enough dice by the end of the event.
Yeah, it is always the worst feeling to be a new player and look at the amount of dice you have and you go, I need to buy more dice. And then you buy a set of dice, and then by the end of the tournament, you will have somehow gotten enough dice that equals the ones that you bought, and you're like, I didn't need to spend this $10. Like, I could have just shown up and just hung out for a little bit and accumulated those dice because they just keep handing them out.
And they look so cool. They're marbled now, so...
They are cool. Yeah, like, so... you'll have your dice, you'll have to have your tokens to be able to mark all of your stuff. You'll have to have all of your stuff. And then, you know, you're going to also need to have a way of signifying your list for yourself and for your opponent. A lot of people in tournaments, they tend to print this out.
Yeah, which printout's is great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually printing out, like if you use Tabletop Admiral or whatever list builder you're using, if you can print out one for yourself, have all the keywords on it, that's super helpful. Like, it's, if you're playing 3 games in a day, 4 games in a day, everybody's going to get a little, you're going to forget things at times. So it's always good to have all the keywords there just to keep yourself sane. Helps your opponent out instead of having to go over 50 different times in the game. Like, oh no, this does this and it does this. This has this weapon and this upgrade. You know, here's a sheet, you know, and your opponent can just look at it. Super helpful for you and your opponent. As well as having, like,
you have to be able to tell your opponent what your list is
right
during the setup of the game as you're picking your missions and all of that.
Yeah.
That is part of the information that your opponent gets to know. And so you do have to be able to easily relay that to them. As Isaac said, a printout is absolutely fantastic. I have all of my cards, and so I have it all in binder sheets.
Yeah, cards,
which makes it very easy to pull out and just put all of the sheets on the table. And it also makes it very easy for my opponents to be able to look at the binder sheets, and they can look at it and just go, okay, here's, because I tend to do it that I have the unit card, and then next to it is all the upgrade cards. And so that way they can easily see Leia. Okay, Leia's got this. And then they go down to the next person or the next sheet, and they go, okay, this unit has this. And so it's very easy for me to be able to show that to someone, and they can easily read that. I believe that AMG Official says that you need to be able to have cards either printed or have the actual cards with you to be able to show. But I will say, when I did Nova, everyone just had printed sheets other than me, and it just worked a lot better.
Yeah.
And so just... hey, nobody know really. That yeah, like, I had the cards because I had it there. I saw some people, they had all of their unit cards and everything with them, but just not out on the table, so that way if somebody was like judge, you know, they could just be like, here, I have all the official cards or whatever printed out inside of the thing. Again, they can be printed at home. You don't have to have like the official ones from AMG. You can just take the, you can just print them all out and just be like, yep, see, that's the Leia card right there on this sheet that I've printed out. And everyone goes, that's great, you're done. So you have the, you know, you have a printout of the card or whatever, and so it's good. But for the most part, I think almost every single person that I played against just had a printout from Tabletop that they were just like, this is my list. And I go, thank you.
You can do like the picture view too, like where like you just put each unit on each piece of, on like a different sheet of paper, and it has like the unit card, the upgrades, everything. Like, that's totally cool too. You can put a stapler on it or something. Like, just flip through, like, a packet. Like, whatever's easier for you. At the end of the day, like, it's just for ease of use, more or less. So sometimes, like, space is an issue, so people don't, like, put the cards out and things. So it's just, like, have it.
Yeah.
Just in case, but not
necessarily. That was the downside of the binder sheets. Was yeah. That the binder sheets do take up a bit of the table. Though. And so I was like, Yeah, the old binder sheets,
right.
Great. I'm using, like, normal... Those,
the mini cards.
Yeah, I'm using just normal sheets, you know, that you can pick up, that you put your Magic or your Yu-Gi-Oh cards in or whatever. I'm just using those, and they're working fine to do the same exact thing. So, again, this is very easy stuff that you can pick up or you already have a bunch of, and you can just go, okay, slide it all in, bam. Yep. Bring it to the tournament and you're good to go. So you need to have your cards, you need to have your list, you need to be able to have your dice to roll. I've heard that you need to have only official dice. I've seen people go to tournaments with non-official dice. It's fine. I don't think anyone really cares if you're rolling.
Yeah.
If you happen to be rolling Baron of Dice versus real ones, right. It's like, all right, who cares?
Yeah, people aren't going to care. I mean, at any point you can always share dice too, so it's like we haven't had, at least I haven't heard of anybody ever using like weighted dice or anything. So like hopefully we don't like intone that, but yeah, it hasn't been an issue. And
yeah, I have on several times offered to, even though I only use AMG official dice, I have on several times offered to roll my opponent's dice if they would like me to. Just because, like, if I was doing, like, insane saves on a white, you know, like, it's like, oh, yeah, I got all blocks or something like that, I will easily ask them and be like, do you want me to use yours? I'm more than happy to use your dice if you think that, like, mine are somehow, it doesn't matter to me because I'm, you know, they're just dice at the end of the day. So, sometimes you get lucky, right? That happens. And if you think that it's suspicious, I'm more than happy with being like, I'll roll yours, you know, like...
Yeah, you can always share dice, too. Sometimes that's a thing that people will do. If space is constrained, like, sometimes you just set one dice tray in the middle and use one set of dice. Like, that's totally a cool thing if everybody's on board with that.
Yeah, you just got to make sure that you're coming back with all of yours.
Yes, you do want all your dice back. Don't steal dice.
That's the only thing. I did almost end one of my matches with at Nova that my opponent and I... Because we had so many units on the other side of the table, we just were, like, I was like, hey, do you mind? And we just were borrowing each other's stuff. But by the end of it, I ended up not having enough range tools. I only had two, like, sticks.
Paint your range sticks, that's a good tip. Like,
you
can prime them a color or something. Like, that's always a good little helpful tip. Until you find the one person that has the exact same color range sticks as you. But it can help.
Yeah, having the range sticks is very good, especially having extra ones. But it was very funny that, like, he just grabbed all of them, and I was like, I actually need some of those. Like, you, I need some of those back, please.
I'm just going to guesstimate all my range fans.
Yeah, because I wouldn't have had enough to do range 4 then, and I was like, I have ATRTs. I need those, please.
Not Sorry. Anymore. They're all range 3.
Yeah, so, yes, any of your range, your movement tools, any of those people are going to use... and so by all means, paint them.
Yeah.
I think that always makes things a lot easier to know which is yours and which is somebody else. You can't paint any specific markings on them. That would be like, I'm using my range tool, but that's like what movement 1 is or what, like, you can't do that. That's bad. But if you just wanted to paint them, like, this is all red. I've also never cared or noticed if anyone does that, of just like,
it is technically illegal. I've never heard of it ever being an issue, but I forget that is like a section in the rule book about like
there's a lot of things like that it's just like, oh yeah, there's technical rules that are there that I've never seen actually followed at a tournament, or to a point where people are just so chill about it that it's like,
it's very chill community.
Yeah. Again, it's a very chill community. So, like, when they're sitting there and being like, you can only have one range tool and one movement tool of your own on the board at a time.
That's what I'm mad about.
And yeah, I was like, okay, great. But then most of the time, then someone's just like, do you mind putting range 3 at your guys, you know, like your ATRT towards my commandos or something like that? So that way they can figure out if their commandos can hit the ATRT. And I'm just like, sure.
Yeah, you're going to get the measurement at the end of the day. You might as well find the most efficient way to get that measurement. Like, you can do it.
I went, because I play vets a decent amount, I constantly just have range 3 sitting on my Mark 2s since they have standby all of the time. And so every time my opponent is moving someone, I just have that already out for them because I know they're going to check it. Yeah. And it's just like, rather than making you try to move your guys, figure out where range 3 is, and just be a little bit outside of it, I can just hold the stick here for you and make this process happen a lot faster. I know that you're not going to willingly walk into standby if you don't have to. Yeah, and so I'm just going to hold the standby out for you and then just be like, if you come a little bit further, you can do the move that you want to do, you can do the shot that you want to do, but you will be within standby range. And my opponent's like, sure. Or no. And then they just move it back a little bit and they go, great. It's just gonna stay there. Just so
the game up, which is also helpful in tournament play when you have like timers and things like that.
Have you played a lot of tournaments with like clock timers?
No chess clocks. You meant like, but like there's a time limit that is, which I guess is a good thing to mention for tournament play. One thing that does set it aside from your local, you know, play night. You know, you can't play a 4-hour game. Most of the rounds are like I think it's somewhere two to 2.5 hours is usually the average.
Yeah, I was going to say 2.5 hours is all of the tournaments that I've played. That's how long you had to do your game in.
Yeah.
And so you do want to be a little bit faster than what you're used to.
There is an element of like, it's not like just super speed, just go like really, really, really fast. But like that is an element. Whatever you end up bringing, you want to have a few reps in with it probably enough to like, just to be able to play fast enough to, it's not like a speed race, but you do want to try to finish. If you're in like turn 2 at 2.5 hours in, that doesn't feel very great for everyone involved.
And sometimes you do end up in that position. Yeah. You know, if you're running a 18 act list and your opponent is 2, congratulations, you guys are not going to end up getting to round 5. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah, logistically. So you're just moving, like, it's just a lot of stuff to move. like it takes time to place your plastic soldiers on the board every time you move.
But yeah, so definitely knowing what your list does so you can limit your time on thinking, and definitely anything that you can do to help yourself limit the amount of time it takes for setup or limit the amount of time it takes from getting from one end, like one table to the next table, any of those things, great. Those are always things that you should be doing to make sure that you can get your game started as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. So that way you're getting as far into those rounds, because sometimes you are neck and neck with your opponent and you do just need that last
like 5 minutes.
5 to 10 minutes, right? Like, you do need that last little bit because they might be up a point, but if you can finish the round, you get all of these points. And so that's when that really matters. And so it's always good. And I've never seen anyone actually like slow play, but most people they want to be able to get through the entire game sufficiently. And so that's when you want to just be able to have your stuff be able to just, you know, I got everything on the cookie tray, so I can just open up my box with the cookie tray in it. And then I go, here we go. Everything's on the cookie tray. It's all organized. I know where all of it is. And so I can just start, okay, I'm going first, and I put the measurement tool and start pulling the things off the cookie tray and going, you know, so stuff like that. Awesome. That's also why I had all of my stuff in the card sleeves and in the binder sleeves. So that way it was all there and I could just open up the binder, throw it all on the table. Great. I have all my cards out. I don't have to sit here and just like unpack count and everything. Like deal out all the cards and all the upgrades. Like, I could just click. Done.
Right. Yeah. You. I'm glad you mentioned that, because you'll definitely thank yourself for just developing some sort of system to move stuff from point A to point B. Just picking up all your armies and all your cards, your measuring tools, the dice tray, whatever you have. Just going from table to table. It's a little bit different than, you know, rolling up with the tournament bag or like whatever bag that you're bringing all your stuff into your local play night. You want to make sure that you can, you know, pack your stuff up quickly and then unpack it quickly. So whatever method that is for you, cookie tray. Some people do like elaborate display boards. That's awesome. It can be whatever you want, but point A to point B effectively, efficiently, that's the goal, however you see fit to accomplish that.
Yeah, and also don't, as you said with the display boards, reminded me that you have track your points, points on the little sheet that you can print out, you know, make sure that you can actually do those things. Although I think they don't have the printout for the sheet anymore on AMG's site, but you can probably find it somewhere or have a way of tracking the points. But still, it's way better to be able to actively show that, not only for yourself playing, but also the tournament organizer. They can like glance over and see you're on turn two and you're at 4 points or whatever. And they can gauge where you're at an hour in or 2 hours into the game much easier than having to stop and ask you, which is always bad, because then you have to, you know, you have to answer that question. Right. So you're like, oh, we're in round two. And then you're going, they snapping back to your game and might lose focus of what you were up to or what your opponent was up to. So it just kind of helps with that aspect of it. And also, it, like I said, it helps me with my games to have that always tracked that way. So that way I can see visually, it's like, all right, end of turn three, I got this many points, they got that many points, where are we at, how many more points, what are we doing. It's way worse when you like walk by someone's table at like, all right, it's the end of the round, and you walk by someone's table and you see their little sheet and it only says like 2 points round one, and you're just like, there's no way they're still at round one, they just like stopped figuring this out. And so then you're trying to understand where they're at, and you're trying to like watch and be like, okay, what round are you guys actually in? How many points do you actually have? Right. What is actually happening on this board?
Yeah, the things that would be like a 5-minute conversation in a casual game, you do want to try to like just mitigate that the best you can by just keeping track of points and scoring. It'll help, because I mean, it's the time pressure thing is the only sort of element that is different versus playing on a local play night. You just want to just it's not, you shouldn't feel like they're just the weight of the clock beating on you at all times, but you just want to be efficient with your time. That's all. We all want to play as much Legion as we can. If we're getting bogged down by like logistics of carrying things from table to table, or like, oh crap, I didn't track the score at all, now we have to walk this back for 15 minutes, you know, that just kind of hinders us playing more Legion. At the end of the day, we want more games, we want more turns, more dice being rolled, all the good stuff of the game.
Mm-hmm. And also, do not hesitate to talk to your opponent or to the TOs if you have questions about rulings, because sometimes your opponent will just know the answer to that ruling, and so they can be able to help you with that right there. Or you can easily just get the attention of the tournament organizer and anybody who is officiating over those games and just be like, hi, I have questions about how things work, especially as we said at the start of this, if you're playing against lists that you don't normally play against, you're playing against factions that you don't normally have experience playing against, then you might not know how things interact, and so you might need to ask them, be like, hey, does this work like this? How does this move work, or how does this attack actually function against X, Y, or Z? Because that might be a extremely pivotal moment, and that might be a very important thing for you to be able to understand of like what those rules are. And sometimes the phrase of the old magic phrase, reading the card explains the card, helps a lot, but it is like different interpretations, and it's nice to be able to just ask the TOs or somebody, just being like, I'm reading this right, you know?
Right, and there's niche situations that aren't even on the cards or in the rule book, and they might be in a rules forum, you know, and that's what the judges are for. You're not calling your opponent out for cheating if you ask for a judge, hey, can we just get a clarification on this? At the end of the day, everybody's more happy, your opponent should be happy, you know, you're not, don't feel bad for that. You're not pointing or calling names by like bringing a judge over. It's completely normal.
Yeah, like I had a very specific game that I remember doing at Nova last month, and there we had the tournament organizers there so often, and it wasn't the fact that like we were breaking the rules or anything, it was just the fact that me and my opponent were neck and neck, and so every move that we did mattered. And so we literally just kept asking that, they were like, if we do this, this happens, right? Like, you know, if I move Leia here, I stop the A5 from being able to move that way. right? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing that. Yeah. You know, it was very important because we were down to the wire. And so every little movement, every little thing, because we were that neck and neck, and it was just like a 1 point difference by the end of that round. And so it mattered. And so, yeah, that's what they're there for. That's why you have TOs. That's why you have the officials. And so that's why you ask them very nicely. And you're like, hey, I need you to answer X, Y, and Z for me.
Yeah. It's like a very genuine thing too. Cause like that's part of the nature of bringing like at bigger tournaments where you bring multiple different communities together. Sometimes communities are just playing a rule wrong. And like, that's what they're used to. And especially when you have like, with like the rules updates for like old Legacy Legion and things like that's sometimes you have veteran players have been playing Legacy Legion forever and they just didn't one slight change in the new version didn't quite make it into that community. And so, like, sometimes it helps just have something clarified. And now, oh, we have helped out the Legion community as a whole by clarifying this for another community. Like, it's it helps everyone.
The first game that I played, my opponent went to, they had a LAT, I think it was a LAT, that had cover. Because it has cover one or whatever it is. And so they went to do their defensive roll, and they had one defensive dice. And I was like, no, I got three hits. You roll three defensive dice. And they looked at me and they were just like, what? And I was like, yeah, cover one doesn't mean that you roll one dice for the cover. Cover one means you roll light cover for everything. And apparently they've just been playing it wrong this entire time. Crazy. And I was like, hey, welcome to Legion. I'm so glad you know that your list is more potent than you thought it was.
What were those games like? Wow, we never get past turn two. Everything's just dead.
Yeah, it's just because they never rolled more than one, because they thought they were like, well, my vehicle has cover one, which means I roll one dice for cover. And I was like, no. It means you have light cover for all of the dice that hit your vehicle. Your vehicle is better than you think it is. But it's just stuff like that. And even in that tournament, we had rules that I heard people, they were like, well, I played that wrong last round. And I was like, well, that's how this plays. Yeah. I can give the example of this. It was for the secondary objective of Sweep and Clear. That's the one that you get the points for killing your opponents in different regions or whatever.
The bingo
they didn't give themselves, apparently my opponent was telling me that the last round that they played, they didn't give themselves 2 points because they were touching the enemy territory, but they thought they had to be fully within. And so they counted it as an enemy territory and only gave themselves 1 point. And I was like, no. If you're touching the enemy territory, that counts as enemy territory. You can give yourself 2 points if you get a kill from that spot.
Things like that, that's like very easy because that's like down to like a one word within or at.
Yeah. Does it have fully within or at or near or whatever? Yeah. Like, yeah. So the confusing one I always see is secured or contested.
Right.
Like that word means a lot at POIs, you know,
it means entirely different.
Pulls a lot of weight because sometimes it's just contest an enemy point and you're like, all right,
yeah,
go. Yeah. As long as you got someone near it, they could have 4 people. Who cares? You're contesting, that counts.
All the things getting clarified, and it shouldn't feel like it feels bad for just wanting something clarified. We're all trying to play the game to the best that it can be played, and you know, playing rules right is an essential part of that equation. So it's just part of it. So call your TOs. Yeah. They're your friend.
Exactly. And so just kind of like wrapping this up here, let's go with some tips and tricks for your first tournament. So we've told you, you know, what you need to do. We have told you what you need to have and what you probably should have, and we can let's expand upon that a bit more. So what are some of the tips and tricks that you would give players for playing at, maybe it's their first tournament, maybe it's their second one, you know, what would you tell them to bring or do to give them a better experience at their tournaments?
Water. You'd be surprised.
So true.
You'd be surprised. Hydrate or dehydrate. You gotta drink some water. You're gonna be there for like 9 hours. Like, some snacks is helpful too.
Take a sip of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right. It is important. Don't get dehydrated. Like, just because you're not, you know, playing outside or something, you still got to do the things that humans need to have. So seriously, yeah. Drink some water. Yeah, list printouts are always great. We kind of covered that. Yeah, I mean, outside of bringing...
On the subject of, yeah. of water, I would also say snacks.
Snacks, yeah.
Snacks are good. You know, you will have a break to go get food, actual food, hopefully somewhere in the middle of that. But it always is great to have, like, a bag of jerky or dried fruits or nuts or whatever that you can possibly, that's, you know, allowed to have at that store or whatever. Just have some snacks or something so you can just, like, pop something into your mouth and kind of fuel yourself up. And that always helps because you will be tired after playing for X amount of hours. Like that third round is always a slog because you're just like, all right, game three, let's go. Oh my God, I am so tired. And so, you know, having some M&Ms or having, you know, something that you use trail mix or whatever you like snacking on, having like a little snack in there that you can just kind of fuel yourself up so that way you can be ready for round three.
Yeah. Getting good sleep the night before. That's one that I always screw up. It doesn't feel good to play on sub 6 hours. It doesn't feel good to play not or three games.
Especially at cons. If you're ever doing any of these at conventions, there are so many times I will show up to day two and someone was just like, yeah, I only got like 2 hours of sleep last night. And I'm just like, that seems bad. Just good. In general.
Like, I am notorious for that. I will do like well at cons like the first day and then lose my first game second day consistently. Like that's like a running thing for me. I think I've psyched myself out about it now at this point. Like I just go into the second day knowing, all right, I've had a winning record so far. That's about to change. Like, but yes, sleep well, like all the things that you would do, you know, like almost like test it, like anything you would do before you would take a test. If you can remember when you were in school, like all those things, like that applies, you're using your brain. So like, yeah. Do the things that help you think clearly.
Wear comfortable shoes.
Yes. Yes. That's
or, you know, like have a hoodie or something like that with you. There are several times where you just end up like the one table that's underneath the AC and you're just getting blasted and you're just like, I'm so cold, playing this game. So, you know, just being comfortable while you're playing the game is always nice. You know, sometimes I wear a back brace because I'm hunched over so much. Yes. Like, and I'm just like, oh, I'm going to wear my back brace today so that way my back doesn't hurt as much after, you know, 9 hours of looking like a little shrimp.
I literally just started doing that. Because, like, yeah, after the accident, like, I have some back issues and things. That's like, I wear a back brace and I'm like, this is great. I should have done this before because, like, it helps. Like, you're hunched over and leaning over the tables, especially if they're not elevated. Like, that's helpful. Always like to show up early, which I know sometimes this, whatever your situation is, might be hard, but it's always feel better when I can get there like at least 30 minutes early so I don't feel like I'm in a rush to get everything out. You know, you don't want to leave something out in the car and then have to run out to the car and get it, you know, just so you can relax, chill, look at the boards. It helps
finding parking.
Yeah, parking. Yeah. The tournament pack would usually have that, actually, if you like where to park, you know.
Like that's always being early is always better than being late because you don't want to show up late and then you're like, okay, I've missed the first game, or oh, I'm like already half an hour into my first game or something like that and I just finally got all your stuff situated. So like getting there early definitely solves a lot of problems because then if you happen to have trouble parking, you have time to figure that out. If you are trying to figure out where it is inside of the convention hall, if it's at a convention or someplace like that, or like if the store is somewhere in the mall and you end up parking on one side and then you have to walk to the other side of the mall or something like that, like you've got time. It's okay. And if nothing else, you get to meet players, right? Yeah. If you're there 30 minutes early, you get to talk to people, and that's not a bad thing because that's why you're there. Is socialize. You're there to talk to, socialize, and meet other people that are playing the same game.
If you're not careful,
you
you'll make friends. Oh no.
Not friends.
Impossible.
No. Yeah. So that's what we would suggest doing, and that is how you'd go about getting involved in this and getting into the tournaments. That's how you find them. That's how you will conduct yourself when playing in them. You know, always be courteous, be kind, and you know, don't just have a good time. That's what we're all there for. Have a good time.
Be a good human. Watch all of Notorious Scoundrels so you can correctly make decisions in list building and meta decisions if that's the route you're going. That's what I do. I just binge watch their stuff.
But definitely use your community to your advantage to look at your list and practice all of that. You know, like we're doing this because we want to play the game and enjoy it and interact with the community. So do the interacting with the community part. Yeah. Please join us. Join people doing that. Share your list. Do your things. Because you know, at the end of the day, we're doing all of this for
the love of the game.
Love of the game.